Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NCC Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant clients will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, I welcome everybody to Q2 FY26 earnings conference call of NCC Limited. We have from the management, Shri R. S. Raju, Director of Projects, Shri Sanjay Pusarla, Executive Vice President, Finance and Accounts, and Shri Neeraj Sharma, Head Strategy and Investor Relations. Now I hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, followed by Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. This is Neeraj. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to our earnings call for the second quarter of the financial year 2025-26. At the very outset, I would like to thank each of you for joining this interactive session and for your continued interest and trust in NCC. I have with me my colleagues, Mr. R. S. Raju, Director of Projects, Mr. Sanjay Pusarla, our CFO. Yesterday, we announced our unaudited financial results for the second quarter of the current financial year, which have been uploaded on our website and shared with the stock exchanges. We believe you have had the opportunity to review the financial statements and the investors' presentation. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to the standard disclaimer, which is also available in the investors' presentation. This presentation may contain certain forward-looking statements concerning NCC's future business prospects and profitability, which are subject to several risks and uncertainties. The actual results could materially differ from those indicated in such forward-looking statements. This interaction is broadly divided into three parts. I will first present a brief overview of the business environment, operational highlights, and our outlook for the remaining part of the financial year. In the second part, our CFO will cover the financial performance for the second quarter. In the last part, we will take up your questions and clarifications. Due to the challenging external business environment and elongated payment cycles, we have decided to withdraw the guidance for the financial year 26 and will be able to share any update by March 26. As of 30th September 25, our order book stands at rupees 71,957 crore, compared to rupees 7,087 crore at the end of the previous quarter. During the quarter, we booked new orders worth rupees 6,223 crore, which is mainly from buildings, water, and irrigation divisions. In the second quarter of the FY26, the company has reported a turnover of rupees 4,585 crore as against rupees 5,224 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The EBITDA margin stood at 8.7% on consolidated basis. For the first half of FY26, the company achieved a cumulative turnover of rupees 9,793 crore, compared to rupees 10,782 crore in the same period last year. The cumulative order inflow for H1 FY26 stood at rupees 9,881 crore. Now, I will break down the order book segment-wise as of second quarter. The order book in the building division stands at rupees 22,400 92 crore, which is about 31% of the total order book. The transportation division has an order book of rupees 17,361 crore, which is about 24% of the order book. The order book in the electrical division stands at rupees 15,013 crore, which is 21% of the total order book. The water and railway division holds rupees 7,553 crore, which is about 10% of the total order book. The irrigation division has rupees 5,394 crore, which is about 7% of the total order book. The mining division order book stands at rupees 4,137 crore, which is about 6% of the total order book. Now, I will hand over to Mr. Sanjay Pusarla with a request to take us through the detailed financial performance of the company. Over to you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sanjay Pusarla, CFO from NCC Limited. I am pleased to announce the financial results of Q2 of FY26 of NCC Limited. My announcement will be in the sequence of order book, revenue, profitability, debt movement, and some of the important balance sheet items. To start with, order book. Our order book stands at 71,957 crores at the end of September 25. You are aware the order book at the beginning of the year is 71,568 crores. Orders received in Q2 is 6,223 crores. And cumulatively, as Mr. Neeraj said, we have received orders, including the orders in the month of October, stands at 17,420 crores. So the order book of 71,957 crores includes standalone order book of 64,326 crores and 7,632 crores of the subsidiaries. Coming to the revenue, turnover reported in Q2 of FY26 is 3,774 crores as against turnover of 4,480 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. It shows a decline of 16% at the standalone level. When it comes to 6 months, the turnover for Q2 for the H1 of FY26 is 8,204 crores as against 9,227 crores, which shows a decline of only 11%. At the consolidated level, the turnover reported in Q2 FY26 is 4,585 crores as against the turnover of 5,224 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, a decline of 12%. When it comes to 6 months, for the H1 of FY26, it is 9,793 crores as against 10,783 crores, shows a decline of 9%. Let's get into the profitability. At the standalone level, we achieved EBITDA of 7.45% for Q2 as against 9.03% of the corresponding quarter of the previous year. PBT, we achieved 3.1% and PAT, we achieved 2.68% in the current quarter, that is Q2 FY26, as against PBT of 4.86% and PAT of 3.58% reported in corresponding quarter of the previous year. At consolidated level, we achieved EBITDA of 8.66% and PBT of 4.51% and PAT of 3.37% in the current quarter, as against EBITDA of 8.52%, PBT of 4.79% and PAT of 3.12% reported in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Let's get into the debt movement. The debt at the beginning of the quarter stood at 1,852 crores and net debt after cash and cash equivalents is rupees 1,497 crores. At the end of quarter 2, FY26, it stood at 2,115 crores and net debt of 1,890 crores. And at the end of Q2, FY25, the same is 1,773 crores and net debt of 1,624 crores. There is an increase in debt by 263 crores. The debt equity ratio stands at 0.28 at the end of Q2 FY26 as against 0.25 at the end of Q2 FY25. And beginning of this year, it was 0.20. So coming to the working capital, excluding cash and margin money deposits. At the end of Q2 FY26, it stands at 5,406 crores, which is 33% of the turnover. In terms of working capital days, it is 110 days. Debtors outstanding at the end of Q2 has decreased from 3,296 crores to 3,277 crores. And the number of days increased from 77 to 78 days in the current quarter. It is 65 days for the corresponding period of the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Coming to unbilled revenue, it stands at 6,662 crores, which is 41% up for Q2 as against 5,937 crores at Q4 of the last year. Retention money stands at 1,993 crores for Q2 as against 1,870 crores at the beginning of the year. Coming to the mobilization advances. Advances stood at 2,961 crores as at the end of September 25, as against 2,944 crores as at the end of June, a net increase of about 17 crores. Of these mobilization advances, 63% are interest bearing and the average interest comes to around 9.17%, and interest bearing advances decreased from 79% to 63% during the half year. Cash and cash equivalents, it is 224 crores as on 30th September 25 and 355 crores as at the end of June 25. Margin money deposits, 671 crores at the end of September, and same is the number at the end of June 25 also. Coming to the capex, we have incurred a capex of 77 crores in Q2 and cumulatively we incurred 169 crores for the first half of 26, as against the budgeted capex of 1050 crores for the regular projects. Earlier, in the earlier call, we said the 750 crores is the capex, but the capex now revised to 1050 crores. Coming to the investor related ratios, the ROE stands at 9.82 as against 14.61 end of February, as a financial year 25 end. Return on net worth is 9.53 as against 14.43. EPS stands at 1.61 rupees as at the end of Q2 FY26 as against 2.55 for the corresponding quarter. Inventory stood at 1,725 crores at the end of September. The investments are 1,191 crores as at the end of September. With this, I conclude my results announcement. Thank you. Over to Neeraj.
Yeah, Mr. Weber?
Yeah, so we can Q&A.
Well, we can, you know, start the question and answer session now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. My question is, sir, what exactly has changed compared to the last quarter that you have dropped the guidance despite having very large order book? Is it that the work has not started for a very significant part of the order book and you're finding it difficult to book revenues?
It is very clear, sir. Even Mr. Neeraj has covered in his initial opening remarks. There is unprecedented rains that happened in the Q2. In addition to that, there were elongated payment cycle. These are the two main reasons which has caused a drop in the turnover. And nothing else than that. And order book is strong and we are able to execute and we are positive in the coming quarters.
The other thing is some of... Yes, Mr. Mohit, please continue.
So my question is, so why drop the guidance? Why not give some guidance for the H2 and something like, maybe, is it possible to have 5% growth in the entire fiscal compared to F25?
This is the decision of the management, you know. So this decision.
At the moment, it is very difficult to predict because considering the situation. It is very difficult to predict what is going to happen. That is the reason even Mr. Neeraj said at the end of the year, we'll be able to give a concrete picture.
Understood, sir. And are you seeing a recovery now, sir, as you're already in the midst of middle of Q3? So are you seeing a recovery, some sort of which can help us post a better number compared to last year H2?
We have already shared with you, Mr. Mohit, that, you know, we will update you, give us some time. We will update you by end of, March, we will have more clarity and I hope this situation, improves. Then we should be in a position to talk about this.
Understood, sir. And how is the ordering flow environment? Are you seeing the weakness also populating to the ordering environment in general?
I mean, ordering, if you really see the number of, orders that we have bagged as today, this continues to be, healthy, in line with what we had anticipated. And as we speak, we already have, bagged as of today, 17,420 crore orders. So, the order inflow is moving in line with, our anticipation.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir. I understand that we withdrew the revenue guidance, but still trying to understand further in which segment. So broadly, if I look at the numbers, it seems that the building and water segment, we have seen a decent degrowth, where particularly the building segment, which is in terms of order book, if you look at even for last 3-4 quarters also, it is in the similar line. So not able to understand, is it that we are facing major issues apart from the whatever the recent projects that we have bagged in last 6 to 9 months. There obviously it seems that the execution has not picked up, but still are not able to understand why we are withdrawing the revenue guidance.
Yeah, let me. You know, I think my colleague Mr. Pusarla has already answered this question, but let me try to reiterate. Firstly, what we have seen is in the second quarter we have had extended and aggressive sort of monsoon, so some of the projects got impacted. The second one is, some of the projects that we had anticipated would pick up pace in this quarter has not happened. Some of the permissions, some of the ROWs, they have delayed the start of those projects. The third and important reason is I have already talked about this at the very outset. We have noticed elongated payment cycle. The clients are not able to make the stipulated payments on time. So these are the three important factors, that has convinced us to, revisit the guidance. And we believe that in the fitness of things, it is always better to communicate openly with the market. So this is what we have done.
Okay, got it. Second, in terms of the margin also, so there previously we are looking at 9%, so already in the 1H we are 8.3%. So there, still one can see the similar 8%, 8.5% in the second half, or there is a possibility that we can even have a 9% in the second half EBITDA margin?
Mr. Shah, it is very difficult to say. When we say that we have withdrawn the guidance, we have withdrawn the guidance, right? It is very difficult to anticipate. No, if it was possible, we would have shared that number with you. But we will revisit all these things and, come back to you by March.
But one thing is that we are very near to whatever lower band we have given. And depends on how it will move in Q3. Okay, if you see that the turnover revenue was low in the first half, and when the turnover is low, obviously it is understood that absorbing the fixed cost will be low. So depending on the turnover, depending on the situation, that improvement that will happen in Q3, we may reach the lower guidance.
So lower guidance is the 9%, or what's the lower guidance?
9%.
Okay. And is it even to some extent, with some probability, this third quarter till now, whatever the October and the 7th November we are here, still we are seeing degrowth kind of on the execution front, or have we seen the improvement? A broader sense, I understand we have withdrawn the guidance because now it is becoming a very difficult. So that's what I'm trying to understand.
No, I think Mr. Neeraj has sufficiently answered on this. He has told very clearly that we'll be able to help you out maybe over the year end.
Okay, got it. On the finance cost front and data points on the loans and to subsidiary and associates, so if you can tell me the number there and finance cost, will it remain the similar, the current run rate quarterly?
It has gone down.
Yeah, it is 4.3% down in 1H, so the similar 150 odd crore quarterly will remain for next two quarters?
So it is like this. If you see the finance cost, it is 3.25%.
Yeah.
So it will be in the similar lines.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, it will be on the similar lines.
Got it. And on the data point on the investment, total investment in subsidiaries and associate, if you can spell, also break it into the loans to subsidiary and associate.
Once again.
Just. Come.
Investments is into subsidiaries 1,191 crores, and loans to the group companies 179 crores.
179 crore.
Yeah.
Okay, so it seems there is a significant repayment on the loan front would have happened from 452 odd crore, which was the number from March, to 179 crore.
No, it is the other body corporate which is there, that Vizag Urban, which is there, that was not part of this number what I have told you. That number was 391 crores.
Okay, 391 crores. Okay. And lastly, on the JJM payment, so last time we said 1,700 crore odd kind of a receivable were there. So have we seen some payment coming in, or still the debtors are at 1,700 odd crore?
Some traction is happening, but it is very quite confidential to reveal anything about client information today, given the situation. So it is moving, there's some traction is happening.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakshit Kandpal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. My first question is, in the last call you had said that almost 28,000 crores of the order yet to receive the notice to proceed. So out of the current order book, the work has not started on what quantum of the orders?
So it is like this. Last time we said 28,000 proceed to work. That was orders received in the month of March. That is the reason it was told that orders had to be started for execution. So same is the case, even those orders which have come in March 25. Generally what happens, you will have a mobilization period, one. Second thing, you will have a design clearances that are required to be done. And also the clearances which are required to start the work at the work front. These are all the things which generally take 5 to 6 months it will take. So now all those orders which have come in the month of March 25 will start getting executed maybe in Q3 and Q4.
Okay. So second question, again the continuation of the same. So besides these 28,000 crores of orders of the order book, are there any others where, if you can quantify, where the approvals like NGT or environmental issues or other approvals have not come in from the statutory bodies and we have not been able to execute? So is there any further pipeline of orders beyond the 28,000, or that is included in 28,000 crores?
No, 28,000 crores is not that it was held back because of some clearances or NGT order or other things. Those orders that have come in the month of March at the fag end of the last year. So that was the reason the execution getting happening only maybe in Q3 and Q4. And the second question you are asking, that as at the moment, are there any orders which have been stalled because of these reasons? At the moment, there are no orders which have been hampered because of this.
Okay. Now on the building side, sir, I mean, when we look at the other developers or the players, they have seen very strong build out in the private sector building orders, especially on the residential side. So I just want to understand, how is our thought process on the private building orders on the resi side? Are we bidding there? Do we have order books there? And so what's the outlook on that segment beyond the government buildings, which we typically do?
Yeah, Mr. Khanpal, we are actively looking at, you know, the private capital development space as well. And we do have some projects from the private sector as well.
Private residential, I'm talking about, sir. So private residential sector, I'm talking about players like Brigade.
Yeah, couple of projects we have for the private developers.
Okay. And just lastly, on the JJM outstanding receivables, which was 1,700 crores last quarter, so what's the number now? And what would be overdue beyond 6 months here, where you would have, like, should have come? So just want to understand on the debt side, if these numbers would have come in, so what our debt would have been?
It is almost similar to those numbers, okay? We are waiting for some certifications from them. Once the certifications happen, the money flow also will happen. It is almost on the similar lines.
But how much is overdue on this? I wanted to know that, if the timely payments that have come in. So what
generally, it is a running bill contract. So what happens in the construction contract? They keep on paying, and if you go on existing on first-in, first-out basis, generally the outstandings will be well within the limits.
I'm saying, sir, how much of this 1,700 is overdue right now beyond 6 months? I mean, it should have come in. So I understand that last time we had 4,000 crores of order backlog from JJM, and we were planning to execute this entirely in this year. So against that 4,000 crores of pending, how much should have been the working capital or the debtors outstanding, you know, if it was more generalized basis rather than being overdue right now?
Yeah. So the order, let me give you some picture on this Jal Jeevan projects. We have about 7,000 crores of order pending to be executed. Okay. Then that is a number that includes not only the projects of UP, the projects which are there in other states also, which are under the same mission. So say 9,000 crores is the 7,000 crores is the order book that need to be executed. And as far as the receivables are concerned, it is also in the similar range as like what we said as 1,700. It is in the similar. We are also expecting some payments to happen in this month, maybe month end or so, or maybe the first week of first fortnight of December we are expecting. Once these things are coming, probably the improvement will be there in all these cases.
My question was, sir, out of the 1700, how much is overdue? I mean, client, because of the delay, the client is not paying. So the receivable collection would have passed from the deadline, which was originally supposed to happen. So how much is the overdue in the 1700 crores?
There is no overdue as such, because as last time we said 1700, even now also the same level, but we used to keep billing and we are getting money also. The money is getting churned and the outstandings will become latest. It not the overdue.
Okay. Okay. So let me put it another way. What is the revenue from JJM in this quarter, sir? In Q2?
In Q2, huh?
Yeah.
One second. 1,000 crores, sir. So it was up to H1, it was 1,082 crores, and if you take Q2, it will be around 600 crores.
So you have collected 600 crores in Q2 from the government?
It's about that money only, near to that.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, just wanted to dwell a little bit more upon...
I'm sorry to interrupt in between. Your voice is not audible.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah, so sir, what I wanted to probably understand a bit, you said that there is obviously the heavy rain impact and there is elongated payment cycles. Now, you just mentioned to the previous participant question that you've done about close to 600 crore in JJM in the second quarter. So, is that what you're primarily referring to by saying that because of elongated payment cycles, you have not been able to execute? Or, you know, are there other areas, other sectors or other projects where also you're not able to execute because of this payment cycle?
I think we need to give a little elaborate reply on this. So, like if you see in other states, like in AP, you have got heavy rains which are even continuing even today. In Maharashtra, you have got heavy rains. In Karnataka, you have got heavy rains which are unprecedented. Unexpected rainfall was there in this year. And UP, same thing. So, considering all these things, the impact is there. It is not only the UP projects, it is also the projects which are being executed in other states because of these rains, heavy rains. If you see the rains which were unprecedented, and if you see the rains in south, like in Karnataka or in Andhra Pradesh, the rains were so heavy that it was never expected, maybe the heaviest rainfall, and even beyond the season, the rains are happening. So that is the reason why there was a reduction in the execution.
Understood. On the rain part, it is understood, sir. What I'm also saying is, in terms of slow payment cycles, it is obvious that Jal Jeevan is moving slower. Besides the Jal Jeevan, is there any specific thing that you want to highlight where the payments are probably slower than expected, hence you're not able to execute as much as you would have liked?
No, no, sir. It was only those payments which are related to the water project, but otherwise we are okay with all other areas.
Okay. So, just hypothetically, if, as you were saying, by the end of November, or December, if some of the payment issues are getting resolved, there should not be other constraints, according to you, apart from
yes,
what we've already discussed. Okay.
Yes, you are right.
Okay. The other thing, sir, is you said 7,000 crore is the total JJM. How much of that is UP?
UP right now, I don't think I have right on my hand. 1 minute.
Okay, and the rest is primarily which other state? besides UP?
It is Orissa is there, Jharkhand is there, and Karnataka is there. Yeah.
Understood. The other thing, sir, is in terms of capex, we just mentioned that we've increased our capex outlook from 750 crores earlier to 1050. On what is this account, sir?
We have received one major order in the mining in the month of October. Okay. So for that, we have not envisaged it before. So that is the reason we have increased the capex from 750 to 1050 crores.
Mr. Sir, it's a large order. It's a large order of 6,800 crore odd. So that is the reason, you know, we need to incur that capex for this specific project. So that is the reason, you know, we have decided to increase the capex.
Understood. And as I understand, this is like a development and a development order. So, hello. Yeah. So, hello. Am I audible, sir?
Hello.
Yes, sir, please.
Mr. Vaibhav?
Sir, we are able to hear you.
Mr. Vaibhav, are you there? Ashish, are you there?
I am there, sir.
Looks like they are.
Hello, can you hear me, sir? Hello? Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been disconnected. Please stay connected while we connect them back. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been connected. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, we can start.
Yeah, yeah. Can I continue, sir? My other thing, this is Ashish here. So my other question is that if I look at the numbers in terms of standalone and console, this time there is about 50 crores incremental profit coming in console accounts from standalone. Can you just broadly break it up? From where is this coming? And is there any one-off there? Also, where are we capturing the value of the smart metering projects in Maharashtra? Is that getting captured in console or in standalone? That's all from my side.
So the profit increase in... just 1 second. So the profit is coming from subsidiaries like Pachwara Coal Mining, Urban, and also on the smart meters. And as far as your question for smart meters are concerned, the execution is happening at NCC level as an EPC contractor. And the profit is captured partly at the SPV level and also at the NCC level.
Okay. Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parvez Ghazi from Nuvama Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. So two questions from my side. We have already won about 17,000 odd crores orders till October. In addition to that, do we have any other L1 projects currently?
The value would be about 1,000 to 1,500 crore. What is your second question, Mr. Kaji?
So did I get it correctly that we said that the payment issues that we are facing are largely there only in the water segment, and in other segments, I mean, there are not really any great payment issues. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, you heard rightly.
Okay. So then the related question is, I mean, of our overall order book, ultimately the water projects are only around, or projects where we are facing payment issues are maybe only around 10% of the order book. So if we remove that, then let's say what are the kind of projects where work is yet to start, because maybe we got them only towards March or so. In other words, what I want to ask is, what is the current executable order book where work is already underway?
So the entire order book is executable. Okay. One thing is that about 7,000 crores orders which we talked about on the water projects. The second question is that some of the projects like tunnel project which we are executing in Mumbai and also the coastal road project which is being executed in Mumbai. These two are the projects where we require lots of clearances and all those clearances are now in place. So even those projects also which were not being moving in the last 2-3 quarters, I think those projects also will start moving now. Rest of the projects, we are able to move. There is absolutely no problem. And those projects which have been awarded in this first and second quarters, maybe those projects will get start producing the revenue, maybe in the Q4 onwards.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from GM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. Please proceed.
Yeah. Sir, have we made any investment in smart meters in the second quarter?
Yeah, we have about 230 crores of investment.
This year we have made investment of, you know, in the first, in H1 about 140 crore. The last year we had made about 70 crore. So total, if we add this up, it would be close to 210 crore.
And what would be the number in?
The number, numbering means?
A number of the total investment.
Hello?
We have invested 140 crore in the first half. What would be the number in second quarter?
Your voice is not clear.
Sir, I mean, in the first half, it is 140 crores. So what is the number in the second quarter?
Second quarter number?
Second quarter, you mean to say investment?
Yeah, second quarter investment in smart meters.
Yeah, it was 230 crores. In the first quarter, it was 70 crores. The total investment what we have made so far is 300 crores.
First quarter, this is
70, that is March 25. That is March, sorry. The 70 crores was up to March 25.
Last year.
In the current half year, we have invested 230 crores. The total investment that has gone into the smart meters till now is 300 crores.
Okay, fine. Sir, secondly, what would be our AP receivables?
AP receivables, as on date, they are very live because all the projects we started executing and whatever projects we are executing and billing, we are getting the money in time.
Okay. Sir, what is our current bid pipeline?
We have already shared the number at the start of the, we continue to see a very healthy, you know, prospective project pipeline. It would be about, you know, 2,50,000 crore.
Okay. And so lastly, on the Vizag land deal, so what would be the outstanding loan to be recovered and have we received any money?
391 crore.
Okay. And have we received anything in first half?
Oh, we have not received anything in the first half, expecting in the second half.
So what are you targeting to, so what do you expect to receive in this year and next year?
This year, we expect to receive, as per the agreement, about 80 crores. 120 crores, sorry. Yeah, 120 crores.
And the remainder amount?
Subsequent period.
Next 2 years.
One and a half year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Those were my questions.
Right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Hopefully, I'm audible.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Your voice is not very clear.
One second, sir.
There's a lot of disturbance.
Hello, hello. Is this better, sir?
Yeah, yeah. Please tell us.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, sir. So, sorry if my question feels a bit repetitive, but I think it's a bit in line with earlier participants. So, I just wanted to know, sir, like H2 is usually the better half as execution, and I think rain has died down in most of the parts of the country. So, can we at least be able to deliver similar performance to last year H2?
We have already answered that question that, you know, we have withdrawn the guidance. So, you know, it is not prudent to talk about H2. You know, we will come back to you and update, you know, in the March 26.
Okay. Fair enough. So, but even if some kind of qualitative statement, like, you know, how the work is going now better, or, you know, that would just give us some kind of color.
We hope things to improve. By, you know, on the basis of the media reports, it looks like that, you know, monsoon is already retreating and things should improve going forward.
Okay. Very fair. And so I just want to know, like, we have been, you know, able to receive a lot of good set of orders. So how do we look at, like, you know, next year? I know we're going to give a firm guidance, but in general, like, our order inflow, at least that's nearly stacking up to the guidance. So, you know, that we've given. So how do we look at that right now? Like, that will help us execute much better in the next year. Is that a fair assumption, sir?
See, most of the orders that we generally bag will have some kind of, you know, time
gestation period
to report for the revenues. And all these projects that we have recently bagged will have, you know, different contractual milestones, different kind of, you know, prevailing conditions like permissions, ROWs. So it is not helpful really to generalize that. But depending on the situation, we should be able to make good progress. And for the future, we will come back to you and hopefully talk about, you know, how are we really looking at the future.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much from my side. So that's it for my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. And thank you for this opportunity. Hope I'm clearly audible to you.
Yeah, Mr. Kapoor, good morning. You're audible.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, we can understand for the reasons mentioned by you and our learned team that we are withdrawing the guidance and we are not in a position to guide about growth. But, sir, as earlier participant and every participant have put forward that request that during the normal course of business, now set aside the monsoon impact and set aside the receivable parsing on account of receivables, our debt has already gone up. So if there is another 3 months that goes without any further movement in the same, what has the company's plan be to prepare to continue with the execution, number 1 point. And number 2 is, in terms of the order intake, how will this affect even the order intake going ahead? How will this mismatch of the receivable days and the receivable amount will lead to affecting the prospective business going ahead?
What is your question, Mr. Kapoor? The first question is about
I just remembered once again. So we are an engineering company, construction company. So there must be a normal course of business plan that we have set aside the growth number, what we have, what we were guided earlier, what we'll execute. But there is some normal business activity that will go ahead irrespective of the receivable issue, irrespective of the monsoon impact. So monsoon impact have receded or will recede by another 15 days. Receivable may or may not be achieved during the course of business. So we as investors would like to understand as what is the plan we have in terms of the execution going ahead if the receivable issue still persists going ahead. That is what my question is.
Yeah, Mr. Kapoor, I mean, we don't only look at the revenue growth. As a prudent measure, we also try to limit or try to, you know, look at the working capital that we commit, you know, for all the businesses. So that is also an important factor for us. If all the payments are not coming, there is no way we can continue to invest, borrow and invest, right? As an investor, that is in your ultimate interest. So we do have all those, you know, measures in place.
Okay. But I need to add something more to this. I just want to tell you that the projects which are being executed other than those projects where the receivables are held up, we have no problem in receiving the money. So as it is, the project's execution will continue to happen, and we expect that the clients also continue to release the payments, except maybe in few cases where there may be elongated payments. But other cases, we are even seeing them that they are releasing the payments on time. So we expect that in the normal course of business, it should happen.
Right, sir. Only the point I'm trying to make make myself and the other people understand is, if that is the case, set aside the slow-moving orders or the higher, the elongated days of receivables, we have that understanding of how H2 will shape up. So why is the management differing to give some color to how the execution will be, and will be speaking only in March? This has not been the case earlier in my recent memory. So that was the reason I'm asking the question. Even if we set aside the issues with the orders, we have a huge order book, even excluding the one that is affected. So as Neeraj sir itself mentioned, that we will not be progressing in case the receivables remain elongated for further. And then you are also particularly with the fact that other orders are moving good and we are getting the payment on time. So then what stops us from giving us at least a picture of how H2 will look? That was my question, the big question. And that's all.
I think we were discussing on about water projects where we said the order book at the beginning of the year was about 8,000 crores and about 1,000 crores were executed in H1, right? About 7,000 crores is a big number, a tall number, okay? Which a substantial portion is expected to be executed in the current financial year. So if elongated payments are there in a particular segment, definitely it will impact. And today, we are not in a position to predict and anticipate what will happen in the near future for those cases. That is the reason we are very optimistic that and we have given our withdrawal of the guidance.
Okay, sir. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, sir, but it's not clear to me anyway. So, thank you for the elaborate answer, sir. Okay. Thank you. And all the best, sir. We are only left with being hopeful now. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham Shelas from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, your voice is not audible to us. Mr. Shubham, your voice is not audible.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Sorry. Sir, in terms of our earlier guidance, 10% odd revenue growth. So what was, we were pitching for the JJM work, that 8,000 crore order book will fall to what level if we don't receive any order in FY26?
Could you please repeat your question?
Rephrase it, sir. In terms of our GM order book, what was our earlier thought process of exiting this 8,000 odd crore?
I'm sorry to interrupt again. Your voice is breaking in between.
Your voice is not very clear, Mr. Shubham.
Yeah, so is this better now?
Yeah. Please ask.
And at the start of the year, almost like 8,000 odd crore. So what was our earlier prediction looking when we had given a guidance of 10% revenue growth?
Your voice is not clear.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shubham. I would request you to rejoin the queue again as your voice is not audible. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. What is the incremental investment that we need to make in the smart city, in the smart meter projects?
280 crores.
250 crores. Another 280 crores
we have to make.
And the time period?
Our time period may be another 1 year to 1.5 year.
280, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for a very enthusiastic participation. I thank all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.